If you would turn with me to the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Leviticus, chapter 25. I've been giving a great deal of thought lately to freedom. Freedom. That's a wonderful thing, freedom. As Larry prayed, freedom to worship. That's a wonderful thing. More than anything in this world, I desire to have that true rest that's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to have true rest is to have freedom. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the guilt of sin. And as long as a sinner is under the power of sin, there can be no rest. As long as a sinner feels the guilt of their sin, there can be no rest. None. The rest and freedom can only be accomplished one way, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Himself said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. What labor is our Lord speaking of? What burdensome, what heavy load is He referring to? Well, Christ is speaking of those who groan, being burdened with the guilt of sin upon their consciences, pressed down with the yoke of the law, sinners who are laboring in order to obtain peace of conscience and rest for their souls. Are you groaning for such freedom and rest? Christ is saying, "Come to me, lay down your burdens at my feet, look and lay hold of me by faith, trust in my work of righteousness and my sacrifice for sin that can never be obtained by the works of the law." Oh, if I can get a hold of that, there's some freedom and there's some rest found there. He says, "I'll give you rest." Spiritual rest, eternal rest, peace of conscience, ease of mind, tranquility of soul. I'll give you freedom through pardoning grace and free justification through my work of righteousness. And only Christ can give this peace, this eternal rest, and this everlasting freedom from the burden and the bondage of sin and sin's wages, which is death. And I tell you without reservation, I want this freedom. I desire this rest. There's no rest apart from that freedom that God's people have in Christ, their Sabbath of rest. Over 20 times in the Scriptures, the word Sabbath is used in conjunction with the word rest. For example, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 tells us, "And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested." Now we know that God was not weary, the Creator fainteth not. But by having finished His perfect work, He had no more to do, and He was satisfied with what He had done. God rested. The Hebrew word rested is shaboth, and it actually means to cease and to celebrate. God rested. He celebrated on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from, He had taken delight in, all His work which He created and made. And throughout the Scriptures, the Sabbath refers to rest. No work was to be done on the Sabbath. And we live in a day of entitlement. Men and women alike think that God owes them something. They think that they're entitled to everything God has. But the only thing that anyone is entitled to is that which they've earned. And all that any of us have truly earned is the wages of sin, which is death, Romans 6:23. Everything else that we have is a gift of God. And if we don't see it as so, I'm telling you, we'll live a most miserable life. What do we have that we did not receive, Paul asked. And if we received it, why do we glory as if we had not received it? It's God who makes us to differ. And that is the beautiful picture that we have here in Leviticus chapter 25. Let's look at it together, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep. And if you have a marginal Bible, you may notice that that word keep there actually means rest. He says, Then shall the land shall keep or rest a Sabbath unto the Lord. Now this is speaking of a rest from plowing and tilling. This was according to the will of God, and it was for His honor and for His glory, showing that this is His land. He is the proprietor, and His land was only on loan to Israel, as all things in this life are on loan to us. You ever thought about that? Teresa and I live in a house on Simmental Street in Madisonville. The deed is in our name. We pay the taxes on that house. And we live there. But it's not our house. It's the Lord's house. And it's only on loan to us. And one day when we die, someone else is going to live in that house. When our children were born, they were just on loan to us. I see that now more clearly than ever. God gave them to our care. We looked after them the best we could, but they belong to Him. They always belong to Him. They still belong to Him. Whether they trust in Him or not, they are still His. He does as He wills with them. They're grown now, no longer under our care, but they still belong to God. And God will do with them whatsoever He pleases. Everything we have belongs to the Lord and is under His control. How do I know that? From God's word, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. It all belongs to Him, every bit of it. Now look at verse 3. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord, for the Lord. And thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. And that which groweth on its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, food for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle and for thy beast that are in thy land shall all the increase thereof be meat, shall be food. Now here we have a 7 year Sabbath. For 6 years they would work the land, and in the seventh year, Israel was not allowed to plant, prune, or gather. They were commanded, now listen, they were commanded to trust and to rest in God to give them the increase. It was a year of rest unto the land, a celebration, a holiday, so to speak. And it was meat, it was food for God's people. God took care of them and all that they had. And the land was meat, food for them, and they were commanded to rest. God commanded them to rest. God's people are still commanded to rest. To rest in Christ, our Sabbath. God's people were commanded to rest on the seventh day of the week. And God's people were commanded to rest in the seventh year, which was a Sabbath for the Lord, when they should neither plant or sow. But then there was another Sabbath, the Sabbath of all Sabbaths, the Sabbath of Jubilee. And that's what we see next. Look at verse 8. And the Lord said, And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. Now here we have a Sabbath. As I said, the Sabbath of all Sabbaths. The Sabbath of Jubilee that occurred every 50 years. And the sound of the trumpet in that 50th year was called the trumpet of Jubilee. And in verse 9, God says, in the day of atonement, which was on the 10th day of the 7th month, God said, you shall make the trumpet sound throughout the land. Verse 10, and you shall hallow or revere or show reverence in the 50th year and proclaim liberty, freedom, throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Now our Lord says, after 7 times 7 years, that's 49 years, going through all these other types of Sabbaths for the people of God, the one thing that is true of every Sabbath that is here mentioned shall be that there shall be no work be done. No planting, no plowing, no pruning, no nothing. And this is a picture of Christ, our Sabbath. Now whatever this Jubilee is, it first rests on the accomplishments of the Day of Atonement, which spiritually speaks of the accomplishments of Christ's death on Calvary's cross. And we've discussed this before. The word atonement here is, though a wonderful word, it's an Old Testament word, and it's only used once in the New Testament in Romans, and it's used then as a whole different meaning. The word atonement means a covering. You know, the sin of God's people has not been covered. It's been put away. Big difference. Big difference in being covered and being put away. We have not been atoned for, friends. We've been propitiated. Christ's work and obedience has appeased God for us. God is satisfied. Isn't that wonderful? Our sins are gone. They've been put away forever. Something that is covered, simply covered, can be uncovered. But that which is put away forever is forever put away. The sins of God's people are gone and gone forever. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of that. You know why we have such a problem with it is because our sin is ever before us. We live with ourselves. We know our thoughts. We know our thoughts. We know our own heart. Not like God does, but we do know. And we think, how could I even say that I have no sin? It doesn't even sound right, does it? But in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin has been put away. It's gone. They're gone forever. You know, if our robe of righteousness just simply hangs on us to only cover our sins, we're still in trouble. If we're not made in every way clean before God, then we're not clean on any level. But when Christ was made sin for his people, he took their sin and he put it away as far as the east is from the west. Now, have you ever thought about that? Do you know that that's an infinite distance? It doesn't mean as far as the east is from the west on earth. Now, you can go east on earth and wind up going west again as you follow the circular motion of the globe. You can go west and wind up going east again. See what I'm saying? That's not what the Lord's talking about here. The sin of God's elect is put away as far as the east is from the west. In space, in the vast universe, it's an infinite distance that cannot be measured. East goes on infinitely, as far as the heavens go, and west goes on infinitely, and the two shall never meet. That's how far God has put our sins away from us. Why, God made us the very righteousness of God in Christ. How perfect do you have to be? You've got to be as perfect as God is. That can only be accomplished one way, and that's God giving us His very righteousness. Christ was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Did you hear that? Christ has given you God's righteousness. Christ is our robe. He's our covering of righteousness. And when God now sees or looks at us, He sees His beloved Son. Such is our union, our oneness with Him. Now, back to our text. After the 49th year, on the Day of Atonement, after the high priest had made the atonement for the sins of the people, the 50th year, a ram's horn was blown. Boy, I'm telling you, that was a sweet, sweet sound to those who had lost everything and were bankrupt. For according to verse 10, every man was returned the possession that he had lost. This trumpet was not a trumpet as we know it. It was not a trumpet with the vowels that played multiple notes. It was a ram's horn that produced only one note, one loud note. Matter of fact, the Hebrew word for jubilee actually means a loud sound, a blast of the horn. And when it was blown, it indicated that atonement had been made. And what a beautiful sound that was to those that needed to have their sin covered. That one note blast of the horn represents and pictures the one note of the gospel. It pictures our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ as He hung on Calvary's cross and He cried, the scripture says, with a loud voice, "It is finished." And Christ's shout of "it is finished" was the shout of jubilee. According to Numbers 23, the shout of the king was heard in the putting away of His people's sin. Listen, God's law was honored. Boy, that'll mean something to you if you try to keep it yourself and you see that you can't. God's justice has been satisfied. Oh, that'll mean something to you when you see that you can't satisfy it. The year of Jubilee was something special. It only came once every 50 years. And those who were poor and bankrupt, they waited with anticipation for that year. This was what the Sabbath pictures. God says, "You rest, and I'll take care of you." In redemption, there's no work for us to do. The work's finished. Redemption is accomplished. All we have to do is rest. Rest, rest in Christ. And the year of Jubilee so fully represents the redemptive work that Christ has done for His people. I can assure you of this. Those who were bond slaves, those who had lost all they had, those who had to leave their family and move in with those whom they served, they waited with great anticipation for the sound of that trumpet. That one note, just as God's people today wait with great anticipation to hear that one note sound of the gospel. And it is that, isn't it? It's a one note gospel. Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, "I've determined not to know anything among you. I just want to hear one note. Christ, Christ, Christ and Him crucified." Christ and Him crucified declares that the issue of sin has been forever settled. Christ, our high priest, has offered for us that which God accepted, and God is satisfied. Can you hear the ram's horn? I'm attempting to blow it loud and clear. Do you have an interest in hearing it? Has God enabled you to hear the blowing of the trump of jubilee? Let me tell you something that I've learned. God's people love the gospel. They love it. Oh, there was a time when I didn't love it, but I love the gospel. I love to hear it preached. I love to study the Scriptures. I love to see where Christ died the just for the unjust, because I'm that unjust one. I can't fathom being without the gospel, without hearing it, without hearing the sound of that gospel note blown again and again and again. And I'll tell you something else. The true servants of Christ are afraid to preach anything other than the gospel. Paul didn't say, "Woe unto me if I preach not." That's not what he said. He said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Now listen to me. If we don't get to Christ, if you are without Christ, if you don't get to Christ, you're going to perish in your sin. The gospel tells us how to get to Him. No, the gospel tells us how He gets to us, would be better, more correctly said. Preaching the gospel is a repetitive sounding of just one note. One note on the ram's horn. And that note is the great transaction of reconciliation to God, that it's finished. The work is done. And as a sinner, ruined, undone, I never grow tired of hearing that one note. You know, I love music. I do. I could sit and listen to Shelley and Miss Harmon play all day long. The chromatic scale, it has 12 notes, and they can be played in many combinations to make chords and melodies of so many variations. It's hard to believe that all the music that we have and all the music that's ever been composed, there's only 12 notes, but it's the combination of them and the melody, just beautiful. I just love it. But if every song only had one note, why, it wouldn't be appealing to us at all, would it? But the gospel is sweet music of another kind. Its one note makes the most beautiful melody of all. Christ has died in your place and put away your sin forever. That's the note. Ring it again. Blow that ram's horn one more time. Sound that note again. Tell me that story one more time. It's the only thing and the last thing that a believer wants to hear. And that's what all God's people want. While they're here, they want to hear that ram's horn blown again and again and again until the Lord takes them home. Many of you heard Brother Paul Mahan say the last time that he was here that Brother Henry and his wife Doris, now in their 90s, tell him that the best message they ever heard is the last message that they hear him preach. Every time he finishes preaching, they say, "That's the best message I ever heard." You know what? The last gospel message we hear is the best message until we hear another one. Is there any message better than "Thy sins are forgiven thee"? Is there any message better than that? Is there any better news than that? Oh, if you care about your sin and you're standing before God, that'll be the best news you ever heard. Nothing else matters in this world. Have you ever heard such good news? Your sins are forgiven. They're put away. And when the trump of Jubilee was blown, it meant more than just the fact that atonement had been accomplished. Why, it was a declaration of absolute liberty. That gets to the freedom that I was talking about in the beginning. The sound of the trumpet of Jubilee brought freedom. Freedom. Again, verse 10. "And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession. And you shall return every man unto his family." Oh, these were glad tidings of good things. To who, you might ask? To the poor and needy. Those who had sold or mortgaged all their possessions to another. He now was returned all that had belonged to him. Every man was returned to his family. One who had sold himself, as I said a minute ago, as a servant, a bond slave, lived with the family he served. But now, the sound of that trumpet, you know what that means? He's going home. He's going home to be with his own family. Can you imagine 49 years. Jubilee was a wonderful thing, and it's still a wonderful thing to sinners today. We are in great debt, and we can't get out. We're bankrupt. We got nothing to pay. We owe more than we can ever begin to repay. And we, like the poor bankrupt sinners in the year of Jubilee, we wait to hear that glorious sound of the trumpet. And it means something. Oh, it means something. You know why? When they hear that trumpet blow, it tells them that they're no longer in debt. That's what I'm telling you. You're no longer in debt. You're free and you can rest. Their debt was fully paid. Who paid that great debt? God did. The banknote owed to God's law says paid in full, and it's written with the blood of Christ. The law of God can extract no payment. The law of God's been honored and fulfilled. The holy justice of God can demand no satisfaction. You know why? Christ has met and satisfied the justice of God. Their fall into poverty had put them so far in debt that they could never get out. And don't you know that some had their ears cupped, waiting to hear the sound of that trumpet? You better believe they did. Was that it? No, you'll know it when you hear it. I thought that was it. They're listening. 49 years of waiting to hear that one note sound of Jubilee. When they heard it, immediately the chains and the fetters of indebted servitude fell off. Those fetters, like the scales on Paul's eyes, fell off when he heard the gospel. You know what? That's my story. I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to Satan and self. I wasn't able to free myself. Oh, I tried. I tried for a long time to no avail. My will, oh, I thought I had a will. I thought I had a free will. But my will was in bondage to my nature. I could not come. I didn't have the ability. I would not come to Christ. I didn't have the will. Oh, my will was in bondage to my nature. I could not and would not come. And then one day the trumpet blew. And I heard it. I heard it, and it told me that I was free, and it commanded me to rest. No work is needed or allowed. Look at verse 11. I'll wrap this up. In Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. Do you see what this pictures and typify? Freedom. Rest. There's no work for you to do. Stop working. No work to be done. Simply eat of the increase that God has provided. Partake of Christ, the bread and the water of life. No need to work. No need to buy or pay back in order to redeem that which we've lost. In the year of Jubilee, God freely returns all that we lost in Adam, and even more. Even more. No longer a debtor, no longer a bond slave. Did you know that after the year of Jubilee, a man, through bad investments or poor planning, could lose it all and fall right back into servitude and spend another 49 years in poverty. The Old Testament Jubilee was not a permanent thing. It was just a shadow. But it was a shadow of good things to come. And on the day of redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ, having finished the work of salvation, the eternal Jubilee began. And God says, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. No more. forever. It's accomplished. You're free. You see, beloved, Christ is our Sabbath of Jubilee. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Christ is the true Sabbath. Christ is our true rest. How did he teach us to pray? In the language of Jubilee. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What did he promise the poor who were weary and heavy laden? He said, come unto me and I'll give you Jubilee. I'll give you rest. The very language of redemption is the language of Jubilee. Redemption is being bought and brought out of bondage and slavery. That's exactly what Christ has done for us. Restoration is gospel language. Everything we lost in Adam was restored to us by the last Adam. And much, much more. Dear sinner, hear me on this. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So, do you hear the horn? Do you hear the ram's horn? Yet there's still one restriction that applies to the Sabbath. No work is to be done. No work's to be done. You didn't do anything to relieve yourself of your debt. You didn't do anything to break yourself out of slavery. God did it all. And now all you do is rest. God will supply your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And our Lord said, he stood in his hometown synagogue one day and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to who? The poor. And he has sent me to heal who? The brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to who? The captives. And recovering of sight to who? The blind. To set at liberty who? They that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That acceptable year of the Lord is the eternal Sabbath rest of Jubilee. Christ is our Sabbath. He's our rest. May God enable you to rest in him. May God enable me to rest in him.